So Ephesians and chapter 4, reading from verse 1 to verse 16. So we read, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Amen. We thank God once again for his word, and we pray that it may be to us the living word of God. So in these last few weeks, we've been reflecting on these key questions: the question of identity, the question of theology, and the question of action. Identity: who are we? Not simply who am I or who are you as an individual, but who are we? Who is Evesham Baptist Church? What's our identity? Our theology, and as I think I've said every week, normally when we think about theology, we would want to draw up a whole list of things that we believe about God. But here I simply put the question, who do we follow? That for us is the key question. We follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything else comes from that. Everything else flows from that, the answer that we give to this question, who do we follow? And there may be many different statements of belief that we would want to draw up individually, personally. And I guess that our list of what we believe or don't believe will differ from person to person. But we unite on this. Who do we follow? We follow the Lord Jesus, and we pay attention to his life and his teaching. And then action. How do we live? It's all very well saying, you know, this is who we are, or saying this is our theology, this is who we follow. That's all very well, but it's almost meaningless unless action follows, unless our life is changed and we live in service and people can see reflected in our lives and our lifestyles something that points them to Jesus, something that when they encounter Jesus, they're able to say, do you know what, Jesus? I've already felt you. I've already noticed you in these other people because they live like you. Your character is reflected in them. And all of these questions are for us answered when we look at our church values. These six values: Jesus, welcome, community, inclusive, involvement, and journey. And today, we're going to focus for a few moments on involvement, the fifth of our church values. According to gift and ability, all are encouraged to find their right seat. In freedom and joy, we can grow as we serve. Involvement. According to gift and ability, all are encouraged to find their right seat. In freedom and joy, we can grow as we serve. So our church values begin with Jesus, the most important. Everything else flows from him. We are committed to Jesus and seek to be his disciples. We want to be imitators of Jesus. The second value is welcome. We want to welcome, and we seek to welcome everybody who comes through our doors. We seek to form a community not agreeing on every aspect of what we believe or every aspect of our lives, but a community of those who are seeking to follow Jesus. And that's our third value, community. And we seek to be inclusive, to acknowledge and recognize that whoever crosses our paths, however different they may be in terms of belief or lifestyle or anything, there is an intrinsic value that is placed upon every single person by the very fact that they are created and loved by God. And just as God created them and loved them, so we should respond to that and honour everyone who crosses our paths, and we should seek to include all. And then that comes to involvement, because if we do those first four things, how then do we get involved in the life of the church? In a way, a place to start is to begin to look at gifts in the Bible. Now, I asked you earlier to talk to your neighbours about what your gifts were, or what your gifts are, what your talents, what your abilities are. And I wonder how many of the things that we've mentioned would agree with what the gifts are that we read in the Bible. Shall I read them off for you? Ready for this? So there's three passages in the Bible, in the New Testament, where gifts, abilities, are mentioned. Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in a couple of places, and then Ephesians chapter 4. So the gifts are prophecy, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leadership, mercy, wisdom, knowledge, healing, miracles, and again it repeats, prophecy, and then this strange one, distinguishing or discerning between spirits, and then another interesting one, speaking different kinds of tongues, and then another very useful one, interpreting the tongues that have just been spoken. And then apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, healing, helping, administration, and again it mentions speaking in tongues. And then in Ephesians, it says apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. How many of you mentioned any of those? Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. And you might think, well, my gift doesn't match up with that list. Because we need to understand that the list that is given, these three different lists, they're not the final list. It doesn't mean that you can't have a gift from God outside of the gifts that are mentioned here. There are many, many ways in which God has gifted each one of us. And it may be that they tie in with some of the things that are mentioned by the Apostle Paul in these passages, but it may not be. And we shouldn't worry about that. The key thing is that each one of us are gifted by Jesus. There are three key things that I'm going to mention or unpack today. First is, you are gifted. Second is, there is a right seat for you, a right place within the church for you to use your gift and to serve. And then growth comes from service. So these three things: you are gifted, there is a right seat for you, and growth comes from service. So the first is this: you are gifted. You may have noticed that in the passage that I read from Ephesians, it says, but to each one of us, grace has been given, or a grace gift has been given, a generous gift that when grace is given by God, it's not something necessarily you ask for, but it's just given. It's given freely. And the only expectation is that you will use the gift that you are given. So that word grace, but to each one of us, grace, that's, you can think of that as the gift that you have that has been given to you. Now, I titled this, but you are gifted. Now, it may be that when you talk to each other earlier, I don't know whether this happened, but it may be that the person you were talking to said, I don't think I'm gifted. Then anybody says, don't. It's all right. That's a rhetorical question. It may be that somebody was seeking to be really humble and saying, oh, I don't think I'm good at anything. I haven't got any gifts. And yet, what we read is that each one of us, but to each one of us, grace has been given. And this is one of those places where I want to pick up the Bible and say, let's just check. What does it actually say? Does it say, but to some of us, a gift has been given? Does it say, just to the special amongst us, gift has been given? To the mature? To the wise? What does it say? But to each one of us. So what that means for us, it doesn't matter if you're old or young, if you're particularly talented in your own view, it doesn't matter if you think you're wise or you're naive, it doesn't matter if you think you're in a good place or you feel you're lost, but to each one of us, a grace has been given, a gift has been given. And we might talk of this in terms of gifting or ability or competence. To each one of us, that means to you, a gift, an ability, a competence has been given to you. And your gift comes from Jesus. Because that's what it says. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ, as Jesus Christ apportioned it. And I think this is the most extraordinary thing, that when we think about our gifts and abilities, to think, where do these gifts come from? How come we've got these abilities and these competences? And the Apostle Paul wants to tell us, do you know, your gift, your ability to be used in service in the life of the church and the mission of the church in your local community, that gift has been given to you freely by Jesus. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ, as Jesus Christ apportioned it. And so your gift comes with a responsibility, because our first value, Jesus, we are committed to Jesus and seek to be his disciples. It comes with a particular responsibility. He is the one who's given us the gift. And we have a responsibility to Jesus to say thank you to Jesus because of the gift we have, and then to use our gift because it's Jesus who's given us that gift. Our gift is not a fluke. Your ability is not a mistake. Your ability, your gift, your competence has been given by Jesus. And I want each one of us to celebrate the gift, the ability, the competence that we have. And I mean, my prayer as I've prepared this week, my prayer is that even as I say these words, my prayer is that some of you will be stirred to think, okay, where can I serve? Make space for me. make space for me to use the gift that Jesus has given me. It's important. I have a responsibility to Jesus to use my gift, to make space. And maybe you're stirred like that this morning. The second is, there is a right seat for you. This is a way simply of saying there is a place within the life of the church in terms of what the life and mission of the church is out into the local community. There is a right seat for you. Now, I've been sitting on this seat, you know. How are the seats? I mean, they're comfortable, aren't they? You know, so I can sit. And the great thing about the seat, this seat, is that it's got arms. Now, I know we've got the arms on the chairs so that people who find it difficult to stand can stand up easily. But it's a comfortable chair, and I can imagine myself sitting in this chair for quite a long time without wriggling around. That's a good thing, knowing the length of my sermons. But I wonder, at home, do you have a chair that is really comfortable? If you're going to sit and watch, I don't know, a 3.5 hour movie, is there a particular seat where you sit? You're not admitting you ever watch a 3.5 hour movie, are you? You know? But this is a picture of having a seat that is just right for you. And the chances are it's the same seat that your dog wants to jump into and take over, you know. Do you get the idea? It's a seat that's comfortable, that you can settle into. And you think, oh, this seat was made for me. Just right. And that's what we mean. There is a right seat. There is a right place. So we are gifted, and our gifts are given by Jesus. And we have a responsibility to Jesus to say, I am using my gift, my ability, my competence for you, to honour you, because this is what you've given me to do. And there is a right seat, a place that when I use my gift and I use it aright, there is that sense of, this is my seat. This is the place where I can be me. And I have the space and the freedom to be me. Discovering your right seat. Discovering your right seat. How do you discover that right seat? One way is through opportunity. I mentioned earlier, there is opportunity to work with the children's team, with the young people's team. There is an opportunity. And one way we discover our right seat is just to get up and go and offer to help. And soon enough, you'll find out pretty quickly whether you fit, don't you? One way is opportunity. We see an opportunity and we serve and we find out. Another way is encouragement. Somebody comes up to us and says, we need somebody on the welcome team. I think you'd be great. I'd be terrible at welcoming. I could never do. No, I really think you could. Come and try. Yeah? So one way is opportunity, where we just get up and go, okay, I'll give it a go, if that's okay. Another way is when somebody else encourages us and says, I think you'll be good. I remember when I was young, a million years ago, I was probably 16, 17, and we had a group in the town where I was brought up, Sutton Coldfield, a Youth for Christ team. I don't know, I guess Youth for Christ still exists, but it was a flourishing organisation at the time, working amongst young people and schools and so on, and younger adults in Sutton Coldfield at the time. And the The team leader of Youth for Christ in Sutton Coldfield was a man by the name of John. And I got on really well with John and his wife Margaret and family and so on. And I remember one time John's saying that he'd been invited to Great Yarmouth to speak at an event in Great Yarmouth. And I thought, oh, wow, that's the other side of the world, you know. And it is, isn't it? Great Yarmouth is the other side of the world. And I remember John coming to me and saying, Ed, I'd like you to come with me and I'd like you to speak just before me. I'd like you to tell people how you came to faith, how you became a Christian and what it means to be a Christian. You wouldn't believe the number of excuses I came up with as to why. I mean, I even nominated other people. But he went, no, I think you should come. Now, I went, and goodness knows what I said. Really, seriously, goodness knows what I said. But John said it was okay. And he was an encouraging type. You know when you try something and somebody believes in you? And I'm pretty sure I was terrible. But they encouraged me. They said, come and do it again. Do it again. There were men in my church who used to go out preaching in other local churches. And they used to say, and I know this happened with you, Sarah, didn't it? You know, as well. You know, come and do a Bible reading. Come and lead the worship. Come and do this and do that. And it was just that encouragement. And they create all these people in my upbringing, they created space for me with their encouragement. And so we can find our right seat through simply standing up, grabbing hold of an opportunity and saying, can I do that? Can I try that? It may be that somebody else is already doing it, but it may be that you can do it as well and we can create space. It may be that we are encouraged by somebody else to do it. But as well, we discover our right seat through that sense of blessing that we give to others when we do it, and the blessing that we feel for ourselves when we do something and we think, do you know what? I really enjoyed that. That was really good. That sense of blessing, sometimes fruit, that's the impact of doing what we do, of using our gift. So there is no straightforward way, I don't think, of discovering our right seat apart from getting on with it and doing it. And yes, it's a bit hit and miss. But you are gifted by God. Every song, isn't that what it says? Each one of us is gifted by God. And we should all seek to find that right seat. And so we all need to use our gifts, to use our gift in love. And as we do so, we will grow in love. As long as we use our gift and we're open to the comments and the encouragement and the help of others, we will grow in love, as the passage reminds us. As the whole body grows and builds itself up in love. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, lists a whole great long list of different gifts that people in Corinth are very excited about having and using. And Paul says, do you know what? It's great to use these gifts, but you really need to pay attention to love. Because when you've got a gift and you make sure it's used in love, that's where the real blessing is. Love. Using your gift in love. Using your gift out of compassion. Using your gift out of kindness and mercy. That's where the blessing really is. And then the third note is growth comes from service. Growth comes from service. Again, the passage that I read. So that the body of Christ may be built up. So that the body of Christ may be built up. And this is everybody doing their thing, taking their gift, grabbing hold of an opportunity, responding to encouragement, bit hit and miss, but all doing it. And in this way, the body of Christ is built up. And as the body of Christ is built up, so we all become stronger. And the passage goes on, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. There it is again. As each part does its work. As each part does its work. Sometimes it may feel like church is a little bit lopsided. And what I mean by that is church can feel a bit lopsided when there's just a few people doing a lot of things. And everybody thinks, well, you know, if anything needs to be done, go and ask the busy people. And maybe you've been on the end of that. But it's when each person uses the gift, as each part does its work, so the body is built up. And so this is a personal challenge. It's a personal encouragement. It's a blessing for us all when we all use the gifts. Because if you use your gift, I will be blessed. And if you use your gift, I will be blessed. And somebody else will be blessed as well. If you use your gift, somebody else will be blessed. So it is a community thing, but it's also a personal thing. When you use your gift, you will be blessed as well. You will be blessed and you will grow. And so these three simple things. You are gifted. There is a right seat for you. And growth comes from service. And I want to encourage you today, particularly about involvement. Here we are, 2 months into this new building. And on our opening service, the General Secretary of the Baptist Union, do you remember, Lynn Green, came and spoke to us. And she dared to say to us, this building, it is only bricks and mortar. You know, and that's a difficult thing to hear, you know, when we've put blood, sweat and tears into a building. But it is just bricks and mortar. And we are the church. It's just a building. We are the church. And we're facing new opportunity, new possibilities, new in so many different ways. I've been reflecting this week, and I was talking to somebody actually on Friday, telling the story about how over 18 years ago, when we prayed, and the result of that prayer was that we received a gift of all this land here. And I remember coming up onto the land with John Darby. And we just stood, and we stood in a big field. And we looked over the roads. There was no roundabout then. It was just a very, very big field. I think there was a cottage somewhere down there. But there was no school there. It was just green fields. And people said to us at the time, and I told this story the other day, people said to us at the time, you're mad. Why are you moving from the centre of the town out here? And we said, we don't know, but God seems to have called us to do this, so we're going to do it. And we moved. And now we've moved. You see, there's well over 1,000 homes that have been built. It was almost as if God was saying, I need you there, not for yourself alone. I need you here because there's a field, there are fields here of people. There is a harvest here, and the harvest needs workers to go out and to connect with. And so there is a call for all of us to use our gifts within the life of the church, that we all may be strengthened and encouraged. But there's a call for us to use our gifts in the mission of the church, figuring out how we can best serve our local community. It is a plea from my heart to all of us, that we get involved, that each one of us may both be blessed and be a blessing. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we often pray and give thanks in our prayers for your faithfulness to us. And that means that we can trust you, but also for your love for us. And Father, we are so glad that you love us and you lavish your love upon us. And Father, we know that you're a good and loving Father, because like any human father, but to a greater extent, like any human father, you love to give gifts and to see us receiving gifts and using the gifts that we've been given. And it's so good to receive a gift, so good to use the gift. And Father, thank you that you are generous in giving. Father, we pray that we would all today pay attention to this reality, that we've all been gifted and there is a space, there is a right seat for all of us. And help us all to pay attention to that and to make space for one another. Continue, we pray, to lavish your grace upon us, that we may grow together and we may grow strong and unified and mature, both as we use our gifts, but also as we respond to and are filled with the love of God, which is in our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his precious name. Amen.